Welcome, I'm Anne-Marie Cross, podcast host and producer, and you're listening to part two of a special three-part series with Lynn Lucas, an experienced family lawyer with over 20 years of experience in the industry. Lynn has been able to grow a successful practice. Firstly, as a divorcee herself, Lynn has the understanding and the empathy to assist clients going through separation and a divorce property settlement. And secondly, her innovative and unique online law practice, onlinedivorcelawyer.com.au, which she commenced nearly 7 years ago, which has helped to take the stress out of a divorce property settlement as she encourages her clients to agree on a settlement in the early stages of their separation rather than enter into dispute and conflict and the resulting stress and high legal costs. Now, Lynn is on a mission to help other family lawyers who want to build a national practice, but without the stress and long hours typically required to build a successful and thriving family law practice. Using Lynn's business model will enable family lawyers to build a thriving national practice that can be operated from home and in their own hours. In fact, Lynn has leveraged this business model and has successfully grown a national practice to the point where she has been able to semi-retire since the beginning of this year. And on today's show, Lynn's going to share how she came up with this innovative solution, onlinedivorcelawyer.com.au, and the steps she took, and so much more. Last time in the episode, we talked a little bit about your background and some of the triggers that had you then rethink, you know what, there has to be a better way of enabling me to build a successful practice and one that is now national, but with systems and processes and a structure that has enabled you to take the stress out of that, less hours. And so we're really talking about that today. Let's just revisit some of the things that we spoke about. There really is, if we're following the model that typically family lawyers do follow in their practice, it can be long hours, and for some of them, they can unfortunately find themselves in burnout because of that system, yes?
Yes, absolutely, and I have seen that happen.
So what was it for you that then had you decide, you know what, there has to be a different way, an innovative way, to be able to have a national practice or a thriving practice, and one that enables you also to keep your sanity and your health?
Yes. Well, certainly to begin with, I couldn't see a way out of it because the system with a family court, and it's getting a little bit more difficult, and the lack of funding, I guess, has a lot to do with it.
Right.
But there are long delays in the family court. If you're filing applications, there's long delays in between mention dates and hearing dates. There's a lot of work to be done in getting matters ready for hearings.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, you need to brief the barrister as well. So the whole procedure becomes almost overwhelming for most people. They really don't understand why it's such a difficult thing to do.
Yes.
And you find that as a family lawyer, you don't really have much of a life of your own because you're ruled by the family court. The times are set down for hearings. You can't say, oh, sorry, I don't feel like going to court today. that's not on. You've got to front up and look after your client. And it really does in many ways take over your life. I was a sole practitioner for a long time, so it meant that I really didn't have any professional assistance. Certainly had, you know, staff there, but it was me that had to look after clients, go to court, get all the documents ready, brief barristers, etc., etc. And it was nothing for me to be still in the office at 7 o'clock at night, working at home weekends or going into the office and work weekends. And after a little while, it's not much fun. So you start to think, well, what am I doing? You know, for how much longer am I going to be able to live this sort of lifestyle? And particularly as a sole practitioner, I wasn't able to get away very much. Holidays were something that I didn't have for many years. I got to the stage where we decided to close the office for 2 or 3 weeks at Christmas time because that was about the only time that I would get a break. and I would still maybe still have to be around in case there were matters on during those times.
Mm.
So it was getting to the point when I was starting to wonder how much longer I would be prepared to keep working at that pace, and how the heck I was going to get out of it.
Yeah.
how I was going to change it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, when you are in an industry that these are the requirements, you have to do that. Like you say, if you've got a date for court, you can't just say, oh, well, look, let's just make it next week. Because as you know, the calendar fills up very quickly and it could take a long time before you do get another date. And the system, I mean, it's especially when you're talking about law, many of these systems have been in place for many decades and decades, so it's quite difficult then to change. But you actually have been able to do that. You now, as we've said in episode one, and of course in the introduction to this episode, you've been able to not only build a national practice, one that is thriving, but you've also been able to scale back now and have been able to semi-retire since the beginning of this year. For people who can't even fathom, what is it that you did that enabled you to do that, considering all the different steps that we are involved or that we are required to do as a family lawyer? What has been some of those steps that you took?
Well, certainly with couples who can't come to an agreement, and there will always be couples like that,
mm-hmm.
and basically that's what the family court is set up to do, to help those people to decide, because the court's attitude is, well, if you can't decide how to divide your property, a judge will make that decision for you, and you've basically got to live with that. That's fine. The family court's got to be there.
Yes.
But as I mentioned in our previous podcast, I was having people coming along saying, we don't want to have two lawyers. This is very simple. This is what we want to do. This is how we want to divide our property. I also find with those couples, they also come to an easy agreement as to how the children are going to be managed, how much time the children are going to spend with them. So it's just making it so much easier for mm-hmm. each other, for the children, for their families, for their friends, because there's a ripple effect with family law. It not only just affects the couple themselves and their children, but they've got families, they've got friends, and everybody is affected with it. So you know, I was having these clients, and I thought, well, hey, this sounds pretty good to me. I'm having a win-win situation with the clients that are having their settlement organised much more quickly than if the matter goes through the family court. And at a much, much lesser cost. So they're two factors that clients love. And I got more and more of these clients, and I thought, well, there's a definite niche market here, and how can I take advantage of it that it's going to make my life easier? Because I was finding that I was much happier working with clients that could come to an agreement. Less stressful for them, less stressful for me. How can we make this into a much better practice? So that was really what triggered it. And that was when I started to look at different ways of managing clients, managing the practice, and looking to the future as to how it was going to change my life as well.
It's interesting because there's two factors that really prompted not only the decision but then the relative action steps, which was of course of building the online divorcelawyer.com.au, and that was really recognizing the niche market. There was not just one or two people that fit into that niche market, but there were multiple people. And I think, as you mentioned, Lynn, in episode one, you recognised that it was a huge market of people who wanted to separate, wanted to get a divorce, yet they had an amicable agreement of how they wanted the assets to be shared, to be divided between the two parties, and they just didn't want the lengthy and very expensive costs of having two lawyers and so forth. There was a huge market there once you started investigating, wasn't there?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And I began to think, well, look, if I did semi-retire and merged my practice with somebody else so that I was left to just look after these clients who could come to an agreement, then my life was going to be a lot better. And that's really what happened, because once I merged the practice, the firm that I was working for didn't need a family lawyer. They already had a couple, so that suited me. I was working in other areas such as estate planning and elder law at that point of time, but they didn't have a problem with me continuing with my online divorce lawyer practice. They knew exactly what that was all about, and they didn't feel that it was in conflict with the work that they were doing. They were looking after people who were going along to court. That's really, I guess, when it started to take off a little more. And of course, when I finished the consultancy at the end of 2016, for the last 6 months, I have been working from home in my own hours, still looking after those lovely clients mm-hmm. who can come to an agreement. And it was then that I thought, and I'd thought of, tried to think of ways along the years as to how I could share this model with other family lawyers in the same position as myself who wanted a more peaceful life. And I've had time to think about how I could do that. And the membership site was suggested to me, and it was quite appealing. So that's now the way that I'm moving forward.
You know, as you're sharing the information about, you know, just the typical day and requirements of a family lawyer and what they need to do, and I know you covered this also in episode one, or you touched on it, I'd imagine when you're speaking with your own client, but they're also, if you're working with clients that aren't at agreement, the stress that just naturally comes on you as a divorce lawyer would be astronomical, wouldn't it? Because of the stress that they're going through. Compare that to now working with clients, and you said lovely clients who are in agreement. I mean, if you reflect back to what your life was like and how you were like dealing with people who were constantly not agreeing and fighting, and or, it would have been terrible if you compare it to the stress that you were then going through yourself in comparison to now, yes?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, I certainly in the early stages of my career, not enjoyed, but it didn't bother me so much, the cut and thrust of litigation. Yes. When you're going along to court and trying to get the best deal for your client. But that soon wears off because of the way you've got to do it, the procedures you've got to go through. And it used to worry me too, the costs the clients were having to pay, because once you've got two lawyers involved and then you've got two barristers involved when it comes to a hearing, mm-hmm. the costs can be astronomical. And I sort of think to myself, why would you do this if you can have an amicable agreement? I'm not a person that enjoys conflict. That's probably why I'm also a mediator as well as a lawyer, mm-hmm. Because that's my preferred way of trying to deal with problems. And there have been some clients that have needed a little bit of help to finalise the agreement. You know, they've basically agreed with the major part. There might be a couple of little loose ends to tie up. But that's nothing compared to having to front up to court. And the worst part is that you have a judge who doesn't know you at all, and he or she is making a decision about your future. So this is why I enjoy working with the people that I do now, because they at least are making an effort to be sensible, looking to more the needs of their families as well, so that the children aren't brought into it. And it's just a much better way of doing things.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we've said on this episode and the previous, at the end of the day, your levels of stress have certainly gone down, and as has your clients, and been able to come to that amicable agreement. So for people, and I know we've touched on this, but I do want to just reemphasize this again, because I know when I'm listening to something, often there'll be questions going through my mind, is this really for me? And so if someone's listening today, they are in the industry of family law and they're thinking, you know what, I would love to have more hours to myself, work with clients that I can actually really enjoy, not have so much stress, who would this be perfect for?
The members that I would feel would be most interested in the membership site would be a lot of lawyers. And this was an interesting thing that I noticed in the Family Law Journal just recently, or the Law Society Journal rather, and they talked about different changes. And there's the biggest growth are lawyers 65 up. Now, that's an enormous group of people. I think it's gone up 23% or something. Now, okay, there are lawyers that have now gone into that age group, but it seems to have grown the fastest than the other age groups. So a lot of those lawyers, particularly if they've been sole practitioners, really haven't had much of an opportunity to build a super.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that with a lot of older lawyers. So to have an extra income coming in without too much effort, to be quite honest, and certainly not with the normal stress of a family law matter, I think that group would be interested in my model. And the same with lawyers who have preschool or young kids and would prefer to stay at home with the children but still be able to have some time to run an online practice. And of course those in rural and small regional areas, and this is an opportunity for them to build a national practice. Family Law Act, of course, is a Commonwealth and Federal Act, so the legislation's the same. It doesn't matter what state you're in, the documents and everything else are the same. You can add value to your practice by doing this too. I mean, certainly from my experience, having a sole practice, even though it might be a busy practice, there's still not a lot of goodwill attached to it. So it's extremely difficult to sell a law practice because there's no guarantee that the person purchasing has no guarantee that those clients are going to remain. They might decide, oh no, I don't want to deal with a new person, I'll go somewhere else.
Yes.
So it's a bit of a risky thing. But if you're adding value to your practice, such as having a national practice, then obviously that's got to add some value rather to it as well. And I think most family lawyers would be looking for a less stressful area to work in, and that's one of the main reasons, I guess, why I enjoy my practice as much as I do, because I don't have that high conflict that you do have when you're doing litigation. Some lawyers thrive on that, and that's fine because we need those lawyers to look after clients who are going to go and fight it out in court. But it's not for me anymore. I just like the quiet life. And to be able to earn a reasonable income and work the hours that I want to work. And I'm sure that there are a lot of family lawyers out there who would be interested in that sort of lifestyle.
Yes. There's a couple of things that really stood out for me, and particularly moving forward for any business. In the retail business, I've spoken to a lot of people who are really struggling with the high cost, and it is increasing, of rent. So if you've got an online practice and you've said that you work from your home office, you can even go traveling and still work with clients. But because if your practice is online then, and if you do work from a home office, you're not then having to pay exorbitant rental for a physical space either. So that has to be another benefit too.
Oh, it's a huge benefit because leases are very expensive these days, particularly if you want to be in an area where there's a lot of other businesses and you'll be seen. But that's one of the reasons why I can keep my costs to an acceptable limit, because I don't have those huge overheads anymore. So I can pass that on to clients. And you can go on holidays because in the four and a half years since I merged my practice, I've made my first trip to Tasmania, my
Oh,
first trip
wow.
to Western Australia, my first trip to South Australia. I've been to Victoria, I've been the Northern Territory, and I take my computer with me,
Yes.
and I'm available for clients. And I can still, look after them. I went to the States actually for 4.5 weeks, and
Wow.
took my computer with me. So, to me, it's just an ideal business model to have, because you've got the freedom, as well as still being able to more than adequately service your clients. And not have nearly as much stress.
And you know, I read many articles online about the digital. They call them almost digital nomads, don't they? These business owners who are professional service businesses traveling around the world. Yet I've yet to hear of anybody in law doing this, and yet here you are doing this extremely successfully. Built a national thriving practice in the family law. You really are disrupting your space, Lynn.
Yes, that's good.
It is really good. And what I love about this too is because you've built a model that you've been using yourself. So you've built the Thriving National Practice on the systems, the processes, everything that you now are putting into the membership program, which you're then supporting other lawyers who want the life work balance, want to be able to pick up their laptop and go wherever and continue to work with clients and continuing to service them professionally. In episode 3, we're going to dive in deeper, of course, into what the membership program looks like, the things that are involved and what they can access and all those kind of things. I can't wait to learn more about that. But what would you say, looking back to how you were dealing and working in your practice to where you are now being, what are some of the real benefits that you have seen that you really want for other family lawyers who are looking at, gosh, if I make a change, these things are going to be what I'm going to be able to have in my life and career as well. What are some of the real benefits that you found?
Well, I think, as I may have said, the greatest is the less stress issue.
Yeah.
Because it certainly, I mean, most areas of law, I guess, in many ways are stressful to work in, but with family law, you are dealing with highly emotional people going through a very, very difficult time. And I don't care how strong you are, that rubs off on you, because you do feel the pain that they're going through, or I certainly could feel it. And I've been through 2 divorces myself. They weren't horrendous by any means, but I do have a great understanding and empathy with people who are going through that. But I think if you give a lot of thought to what you're doing, and if there are different ways that you can do it to still have that feeling of satisfaction that you're helping people along the way with their family law matters, then look for those changes and make them if you feel that it's going to make your lifestyle better. And you can certainly, I think, deal and service your clients, deal with your clients and service them much better than if you're stressed out as well.
Absolutely. And you only need to look at, well, family law is one industry, but other professional services industries that are typically high stress, the medical industry and other industries that are dealing with people when they are themselves stressed. The impact that it has on the service provider is astronomical, you know, health-wise. And really, I love the fact that you've taken this model, you've carved out a niche, you've built that successfully, and now, of course, you're on a mission to help other family lawyers to be able to have that national practice with less stress and far more benefits, and being able to travel and work from wherever. You just need a laptop and, of course, internet connections. So you're going to share a lot more in episode 3 about the membership program benefits and what's included. Are there any last insights that you'd like to share with people today before we finish episode 2?
Well, I think anyone who is looking to make those changes, look at the benefits that you're going to get from those changes. Certainly, one of the greatest benefits that I find is that I've got more time now to spend with my family. You know, when I was a stressful family lawyer, there were things that I couldn't join in with, weekends. As I say, very, very few holidays. I now have time to do those sorts of things. I can spend a lot more time with my family and I can catch up with friends. Family and friends, I guess, to me, are the most important things in my life. And I used to feel extremely guilty at not being able to spend the time that I should have been with them or wanted to spend with them. But now all of that's changed, and we get to have some great times together and memorable times together. So to me, that's one of the greatest benefits of my practice now.
Yes, I have to agree. And how often do we say, well, when I wind down or when I retire, then I'll have more time. For some of us, unfortunately, we never get to that stage. But for, yes, as you said in this episode and the previous, we may still want to work. We still may want to keep our brains active. And now we get to experience the best of both worlds. So thank you for leading that mantle and taking that mantle and developing the solution that will enable other family lawyers to have the same. So Lynn, can't wait to have you share more on episode 3.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.